What I want to do is kind of expound some on what Jonathan McBride talked about earlier. We've been in discussions with Jonathan numerous times over a variety of issues, and as things have evolved with their gin at Silver Creek, we've seen the opportunity to improve some of the processing within the facility and react partly to changes in the marketplace since that gin was originally constructed. Silver Creek was originally built in 2001, and if you're not familiar with that facility, it is actually two gins under one roof, two independent gin plants sitting face to face. Each one is a 2170 plant. It's got expandability to make each one into four stand outfits, but they're currently each equipped with a premier doorless press, and they feature two stages of drying and pre-cleaning, single 144 pre-cleaning. As originally configured, you look at the final point on this slide, and you'll see that it was a time when in the late 1990s and the early part of this century, we were looking at going mill direct. And as we know, less and less cotton is processed in the United States, and much less cotton is sold mill direct at this point. And so the original configuration of somewhat minimal pre-cleaning and single saw type link cleaning, we had superjet, airjet type link cleaners behind the gin stands and a single sentinel link cleaner as the only saw type link cleaning in the gin. It was to maximize the ability to process but minimize the fiber damage, and with the understanding that a 41-4 was probably going to be the target. Well, as we know, things have changed. There's less gins. Every gin is processing higher volumes that is still in business. You have the fluctuations, whether it's the farm bill, whether it's drought, whether it's soybeans or corn, things change. And so every gin has to evaluate what it does. You can't rest on your laurels and just keep doing things the way you've always done them. And Silver Creek was no different. They looked at what their grades were, what kind of quality they were producing for the customer, and they looked at an opportunity to make some changes. And over the years, some of those changes have been. North facility, we installed a Sentinel link cleaner in the B position to where you had tandem link clean, saw type link cleaning in the number one line of the North plant. 2011, in response to some issues, Jonathan talked about bark issues. The plant was originally laid out with the second stage pre-cleaning elevated so as to accommodate the addition of a secondary pre-cleaning machinery. Typically, what we furnish in that installation would be what we call our Trash Master cleaner, an inclined gravity-fed cleaner that's designed to remove bark. Well, in the case of a lot of gins in Australia and Brazil and a couple in the United States, we have used stacked extractor feeders. Instead of just the extractor feeder over the gin stand, we actually have two feeders over each gin stand, and we saw that was very successful. And so instead of Trash Masters, we installed stacked feeders in 2011. In the latest round of upgrades to the plant, we took out the two saw stick machines that were originally installed, the little giant stick machines, and installed three saw 12-foot wide stick machines. We also removed the B link cleaner in the number one line and installed our conventional control bat saw type link cleaner, the model 108. We installed some used reconditioned model 108s in the B line of the North plant and South plant number one ginning lines. And the South plant added identical stacked 700 feeders, so you had basically mirror image plants again identically equipped. Well, as you look at this layout, you say, man, that's a big building. And yeah, it is, and it's nice to move around in. You don't have to scrimp around. You can service the machinery. And you can see you have this room underneath the inclined cleaners for that future machinery. And you can see the single Sentinel link cleaners behind the Superjet link cleaners in the link cleaning system. Well, here's the system as it is in 2013. You now see the stacked feeders, and you have your single Sentinel in the number two lines. And on the opposite side of these is where you have, and we'll show it through line drawings, the changes that were made in the facility. The drying systems remain the same. High volume tower dryers feeding a six cylinder, 12 foot incline cleaner. The original little giant stick machine located underneath the incline cleaner with a disperser hopper to meter the flow into the stick machine. But then we removed that and we put in the three saw stick machine. We rerouted the underground trash conveyor to above ground, utilized the existing vacuum wheel, and reworked the first stage. The second stage, we raised the conveyor distributor and installed the stacked feeder. And then you can see from the single installation in 2001, we then go to a tandem installation, Sentinel feeding a Model 108 link cleaner. Well, the testing protocol, you know, you can never conclusion. And really what we wanted to do was just evaluate what was happening in the system. Some work by Bobby Harden and the Stoneville Gen Lab has also been done at this facility to evaluate energy usage and cleaning and what is going on in the ginning systems. And I think it's a good project to work on. And I think more work by the Gen Labs would be merited in doing that, analyzing what's exactly happening in the ginning system. And that was the reason we wanted to do this paper, not to sit there and say we're doing exactly this much cleaning in these machines, but just see what kind of trash we're getting, what kind of performance we're getting by each of the machines, and where the trash breakdown is. And we're not going to pour over. I'm going to present some tables, and based on the layout of this room and the fuzziness of the projector and everything, I'll let you wait with bated breath for the proceedings to be published, and you can pour over those on a night when you can't sleep, and then you can go to sleep, and you'll sleep all night long because it's just, you know, a lot of information to process. But what we did is we went down and we took each plant, the south plant and the north plant, and we were going to process a module. And as it turned out, it was fortuitous. The south plant was processing conventional, traditional-looking modules, whereas the north plant was processing four of the round modules, which would constitute what we would call a module. A round module would be four rounds in that module. And so we tested one on October 23rd in the afternoon in the south plant, a conventional module. On the north plant, the next morning we tested, and then on the afternoon of the 24th, we had four rounds that I call the cream puff module, and I've got some pictures of it. It wasn't as sporty as the others, and so we wanted to dial up the heat and do a little bit more cleaning and see what we got as far as results. We sampled at numerous locations, which I'll cover in a moment. We took three seed cotton and lint cotton samples throughout the system. We also monitored, took samples for incoming and final moisture content, and then we also analyzed the trash content, what comprised the trash in the new stick machines and the pre-cleaner feeders. And we also tested the residual lint on the gin seed. That is something that's receiving a lot more when you're dealing with seed coat fragment issues. You're dealing with different types of aspects. One of the things we noticed in testing in the gin is there was actual seed meats all the way out on the module feeder. And when you've got seed meats, no skin, no seed coat on it, no fiber, that's happening somewhere other than the ginning system, because I've never seen the gin process it, shoot it back out onto the module yard. So we've got a question as where that's happening, why that's happening. Is it in particular cultivars? Is it a function of the process? In talking things over with Jonathan McBride, you know, one of the things we've heard from numerous areas, and with all due respect to the harvesting companies, Case and John Deere, the new non-conventional modules are processing differently. In general, we're hearing they've got more trash. We're not going to argue that point. But one thing Jonathan told me is that the new rounds are more consistent. If they're harvested in good conditions, they're consistently good. If they're harvested poorly, they're more consistently bad. And we saw that because of the density, the trash getting squeezed more uniformly into it makes it harder to remove, and so there are some issues with that. And that's something that all gins are going to have to keep their eyes open for. You're going to be dealing with these. They're not going away. They're the wave of the future. And so how we deal with them, that we make informed decisions in the ginning process, that leads us to do a better job for those farmers and helping educate the farmers on the impact that they have, because the cotton is never any better than when it's on the plant. And from that point forward, you're degrading the value some form or fashion. Here are the sampling points we had. Had 10 different sampling points, starting out at the module feeder, after the tire dryer, after the first stage, hot air cleaner, after the stick machine, in the overflow, which is basically after your second stage incline cleaner, after the pre-cleaner feeder, at the feeder apron, and then we took lens samples at the gen hood, at the exit of the SuperJet centrifugal lint cleaner, and at the exit of the A-lint cleaner. We did not test after the second lint cleaner simply because both lines were not equipped identically, so we couldn't get comparative data. So we were only focused, and all we did was present the final bale information, and that will be presented on a separate slide later. But these were the sampling locations, both plants identically equipped, so just a mirror image for each facility. The fractionation on the seed cotton and Shirley analyzer work on the lint cotton, and of course the moisture contents incoming and final were conducted at the Lubbock Gen Lab. My thanks to Greg Holt and his staff for that. They were the moisture content done per the ASTM method. Residual lint on the gin seed was performed at Mid-Continent Laboratories in Memphis, and we tabulated everything and recorded the data in Microsoft Excel. Now to the results. Well, first of all, how many times have we heard, if you don't dry the cotton, you can't clean the cotton, you can't gin the cotton? Everybody signs on to that. Well, we looked at samples, we looked at the incoming moisture content, and one, we noticed it's coming in fairly wet, and the cream puff module was coming in really wet. These were rounds, this was a conventional module. You look at what we're drying to, and you're way above, and everybody says gin 4, 5, 6, 7% being ideal. You go, my gosh, he's ginning at nearly 10%. Well, myself, numerous engineers at Lummis, Don Van Dorn leading the way, needs to dry the cotton, got to dry the cotton more. Well, I understand, I'm signing on to that and talking with Jonathan about that. And all the while, when we're running these tests, we're running about 37, 38 bales per hour. And Jonathan described the cotton this season as when you have a horse and you have to rein it in, you just, a lot of spirit in that horse. That's how the cotton was that he was ginning this year. It ginned extremely well, and even at these high moisture contents. When we dialed up the heat on Wednesday, on the afternoon of the 24th, you can see we did a significant amount more drying. But all of these ginning moisture contents seem high. It concerned me until we saw, yes, Ed?
Those are seed cotton moisture, aren't
they? Yes, sir.
Okay, so that's not lint moisture.
That's not lint moisture.
Okay.
But we're dealing, this is incoming at the module and at the feeder apron. And so, needless to say, we were somewhat concerned. The appearance of the cotton was not necessarily the greatest. But I'll let the final slide do the talking. It's going to be enlightening. And Jonathan has been doing this long enough to know that, you know, doing things always the same old way doesn't get you the best results for your growers, or the best, just cranking up the heat for the sake of cranking up the heat is not necessarily the best way to go about it. Well, we're not going to get poured down, but if you look at these general, you can see, obviously, you're more burrs at the start and less burrs at the finish, and all your different levels of trash reduced all throughout the system. This is on the south plant on a conventional module. You'll notice the burr content in that particular conventional module, about 1.3%. Had, for whatever reason, had significantly more burrs in the seed cotton and the rounds coming to it. These were not necessarily out of the same field or anything. There's nothing scientific. We're just reporting the data and what's happening. But you can see the different breakdowns, and I equate this somewhat to the work that Roy Baker and the staff did at the Lubbock Gin Lab that I present every year at the Gin School, where you have the bar chart showing the different levels of trash and the different amounts of fine trash and small leaf, large leaf, sticks and stems. Jonathan talked about dealing with a lot of issues over the past few seasons of a lot more sticks and trash and needing to get those out to do a better job of ginning. And that's one of the reasons we changed to the three-saw stick machine, and it was also why we went to stacked feeders in both the gin plants. And we'll see some of the classic, a picture's worth a thousand words. We'll look at that in a moment. When you look at the lint analysis, the visible foreign matter, obviously after the gin stand, after the SuperJet, and after the A lint cleaner, the Sentinel lint cleaner, Your percentage of clean lint goes up, and of course your visible foreign matter goes down. In the north plant, you had even more visible foreign matter, but it was also reduced. Analyzing the extractor cleaner trash, the stick machines, and the pre-cleaner feeders. You can look at the levels in the south gen, in the north gen burrs, the percentage in a conventional module and in four rounds. You see quite a bit of difference in the trash. However, you have more sticks than you do in the north gen. So you've got some consistencies and some inconsistencies, but this was a relatively small sample lot. Obviously, if you did this over a two-week period, many more samples, but we're not in the sampling business. We sell gen machinery, so we can only do so much.
Can you go back to that last slide?
Sure.
At the second column from the right, leaf percentage, next right there, 27.6,
yes.
North plant, south plant, north plant.
This is in the stick machine. There was a lot of leaf in that, and these are in that particular sample. You know, we took a fairly large sample of the trash, but we didn't take multiple samples, so that could very easily be an outlier where we had a lot of leaf in that particular instance. I think these are more representative of what you would see. The good seed cotton, yes. Now,
is that settings on the two different gen plants?
No, those are settings, and that just happens to be, once again, since we didn't take multiple samples and average them out, this is probably more of an outlier in that stick machine as opposed to here. It was coming down a chute, and we just grabbed it blind and grabbed a big put and set, and you'll see in the case of the pictures. Yes. Go ahead. No, go ahead. This is a popular slide. And when we go over, I want to thank Kent Fountain and Jonathan. No, no, I'm not. No, that's fine.
We try to keep a real close check on those, replace them through the season as necessary. What I did want to point out was the south plant, that particular module was the conventional module.
Yes.
The conventional module.
Yes.
Okay. That particular module is a smooth leaf module.
Okay. Because we were talking this morning before the presentation, and he was going to get the information on what type of, because there's so many variables. Is it a hairy leaf? Is it a smooth leaf? Is it all the same? You know, ideally you'd have all the same varieties, and even better, all in the same field. Well, we didn't have that luxury. We're not that scientific. The gen labs are much more meticulous about those kind of things.
That particular module was a smooth leaf module.
Okay.
You had a hairy leaf or a
semi. Okay. Go ahead, Ed.
Just to stop there, this represents one graph sample, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. Good, thank you. Anybody else? Got a false start. It's like instant replay in the NFL. Unfortunately, because of the lighting in here, this shows better here than it does here. But these are the physical samples. Laid them out, and they were, to give you an idea of the size and scope, they were about 2 feet wide by a foot tall and probably 3 to 4 inches deep of trash. Pound-wise, I don't have, but you can see in the stick machines, you've got a little more burrs, and then you've got some immature fibers and more moat-type trash in the pre-cleaner feeder trash. But we were very pleased and significantly improved. That's one of the areas that Jonathan had battled with the old stick machines, was the cleaning efficiency, losing too much cotton. And one of the things, and I'm going to ask Jonathan to elaborate real quickly, he does reclaim all the trash. So when you see that trash going, oh my gosh, you've got all that trash going out and all that lint going out, he does do that and reclaim that trash, if you want to elaborate just briefly on that.
Ross used the term reclaim there. We bring all the trash from both teams back together, and I run that through some clean equipment. And that which is being extracted, we're putting into a bale and selling it as a bale of and on its own creature itself.
Can everybody hear him okay?
Yeah, they're, what they're doing. Come on up. Come on up.
And start over.
We're gonna
get you back.
Absolutely.
And start over.
This is what happens when you run ahead. We're gonna fill it up until happy hour.
We'll try not to take that much time.
Go ahead.
Ross asked for me to clarify what we're doing with our trash system, and what we're doing is we're capturing 100% of the trash that's going out of the gin, bringing it back in and running it through a series of two pieces of equipment. And from what is coming out of those two pieces of equipment, we're running that through a moat press by itself and marketing that product by itself. Our moats are not a part of that product, so that is an animal all of its own.
How much pound did you get per bale?
Well, that's going to open up a can of worms, and I don't want to answer that so vaguely, but depending on the variety of cotton, again, I go back, the question was raised, I think, about that 9.6% on the good cotton. Hairy leaf cottons, the guys, it's been my experience, and there are many of you out there got a lot more experience, a lot more knowledge than I do. But these tougher varieties, the hairy leaf varieties, honestly, in my opinion, I'll stand before you and tell you, necessitate, if I'm going to do the best for my producer, maximize turnout, at the same time give him the cleanest and best product that I can with what I have and with what my capabilities are, it requires a little slower feed ginning rate. And so with some of these hairy leaf varieties, you'll see us gin them a little slower than you will with some of the smooth leaf varieties simply because of that. And you're going to, with those, in my experience, is the hairy leaf varieties, you're going to lose more of that seed cotton, especially as your capacities continue to just increase above some recommendations. Yes, sir.
That seed cotton you're reclaiming, you accumulate that and gin it at a separate time. How do you gin that?
No. Let me answer that question this way. What Ross is showing you here, if you looked at one of our trash bales and tried, and I've not tried to break out and see what percent of perhaps ginnable seed cotton is in there. Ross made the statement about the two-saw came out because I could not be satisfied with what I was doing with that piece of equipment. So we put the three-saw in. And in so doing, guys, Ross pointed out how we have the trash conveyors oriented now, and everything is where I can keep an eye on it. And that's I like to go and stick my hands in places where it's safe to do so and grab these samples like what he's got and see what's going on, okay? And the seed cotton that is being, any seed cotton that is captured is going into that bale, and I'm not ginning it. I'm not adding it back to any other point of the ginning process. If you want to count it as lost seed cotton, that's what it is. And it's taken us, again, depending on the variety, and especially with some moisture levels of the cotton, 50 to 60 bales. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less.
To make a moat bale.
To make one of these moat bales. And when I jokingly said this to Ross earlier, there was some questions asked of these bales upstairs. And they said, well, you know, ask specifically some of the specific answers I've given you. What are you doing with them? What do you call them? And I said, well, it depends. If I'm selling them, if I'm talking to my buyer, they're moat bales. If I'm talking to my producers, they're trash. And that's basically what they are, guys. If you saw them, they're trash. All right? And I'll just lay all that out there for you.
One man's trash is another man's moat bale.
Yes, sir.
One of the areas that we've really strived to maintain is good seed cleaning. With high capacity gins, it's very easy to compromise and leave a lot of ginnable fiber on the seed. And one thing we've always been pleased with the operation of Lummis and Consolidated Gins is good uniform seed cleaning. Here we had the highest level of residual lint was in the North Number 2 gin stand. It had 9.8%. by weight residual lint, everything else in the mid 9.5, 9.6. So we were quite pleased with the samples, and these were taken at the same time. We were ginning on each plant anywhere from 36 to 38 bales per hour. So that's about you know, 18 to 19 bales per hour per stand during these tests. And so despite the fact that we were nearly 10% seed cotton moisture content at the gin stand, we were still able to maintain the production. Now, I talked about the cream puff module on that afternoon of the 24th. This was just a shot of the round as it was going into the gin, and you can see a variety to give you an idea. You can see blocks. That large leaf was about that big. It was some big chunks of leaf, and I didn't even get the sticks and everything that were in it, but it was consistently not really nice. And so so I told Jonathan to turn up the heat and let's see what we can do. You recall we were at 15% moisture, got it down to around 10%, and I pulled a sample off the feeder apron, and that you can see we've got a little bit of fibrous type trash in there, so that always brings the opportunity for bark. But once we see the results of that, we can see, and we did some fractionation analysis of that at that time, and you can see we had a much higher incidence of burrs than we had on either of the other two, the north and south samples of the previous day. But you know, all things considered, especially the moisture content and the increased trash content, we were pleased with the operation. Now this is the last slide I did this morning, pulling the information together. And you know, I was berating Jonathan to an extent about, you know, you need to run more heat, and Don Van Dorn was beating me up and down. You got to tell him to raise the damn heat in the gin. And I'm saying, I'll stress your feelings, Don, and I'll be happy to do that. But you know, it is his gin to run, and you know, we'll see. Well, all the while, Jonathan is real nice, and he's just as just as proper as can be. Yes, sir. No, sir. He always, how you doing today, sir? And it's like, if you call me sir one more time, I'm going to choke you. But he's always respectful, and so he sits there and lets us manufacturers rant on, you know, you need to run more heat. And then I looked at these results he sent me. And in that conventional module, he got 19 bales, and in the two modules of four rounds, he got 16 each. These are the different incidents of 31-3s, 41-3s, 41-4s. Now, the cream puff module, we did get some five leaves. But here's your average leaf. Every staple was 37 and above. Every staple. Look at those uniformities. Look at the premium. The bottom line, gentlemen, ladies, is the bottom line. Even on that rough module, over half the bales were paid a premium because of the grade and the length. So just because you always think, well, we're supposed to crank up the heat and dry the heck out of the cotton and let, you know, sort them all, you know, kill them all, let God sort them out. Jonathan does a pretty good job at analyzing what maximizes, and in talking with the owners of that gin, they understand and they market their services as, we want to do a good job for you as a farmer, we want to do a quality job, we want to put the cotton in the bale, we want to put it in a value that's going to maximize both your pounds and your quality. And so once again, it's certainly something that we appreciate Jonathan's work with us and the cooperation of the gin. The future work, one of the things that's still driving me crazy is these seed meats. We see them in the trash of the turbulent dryer trap. You'd lift up the seed cotton and you'd see skin, completely skinned seed meats. And where that's happening, I don't know, but when you see them out on the module catwalks, That's something, I don't know if it's particular cultivars, what it is, but it's something that we'd certainly like to get better on. In the interest of improved operations, we're looking at burner controls. He's got older model, obsolete manufacturer burners. We've retrofitted those, and we're looking at doing that for his gin to give him better burner controls when he does choose to use the heat. And I would love to get a conventional four rounds and two case halves out of the same field next to each other, and as equivalently as possible analyze what's happening. For no other reason, we know that the new modules are coming. I'm not trying to go back to the old modules. With all due respect to the late Lambert Wilkes, we're not going to go back there. We are going to have to make decisions as generous to maximize that quality, to maximize that return, and to communicate to those farmers, okay, you've got this new type harvesting technology. It's paramount that you do it at the right time of day, that you don't bring excessive moisture to the gin, because it's going to exacerbate what we've always known have been problems. And so that's where I hope we can continue to keep the dialogue going and communicate with each other. Yes, Sid. I did not collect the final bale moisture because we were running the MC condensers. Either that or he'd be stretched on a wall somewhere.
What's the apron moisture?
The apron moisture was about 9.5, something like that. Yes, Ed.
But thinking about this whole moisture thing, if you're going from about approximately 12 down to 9 something, the fiber moisture is probably actually around 6.
Right.
And so that's really where you want to be. I mean, he's running, you can see that from the cleanup coming off the finger apron. It's doing a great job cleaning.
Well, and We were surprised because, you know, you get something ingrained in your head and you're going, you know, you're feeling it's not warm on the feeder apron. You've always been taught, you know, you put it up to your cheek and it's like, this isn't right. And Jonathan's been getting all this data back and he's getting good, you know, he's getting these kind of results bale after bale. And he's nice enough to say, Ross, when you see the stuff, you'll understand. I'm not just doing this just to see if I can raise your blood pressure. But it certainly was an educational thing, and this was just such a micro test, but it's how we learn and how we see what's happening in conventional gin systems, because it's going to be something that everybody has to evaluate. Again, I can't thank Jonathan and the staff at Silver Creek enough for their help in this, and of course the Lubbock Gin Lab for their help in Mid-Continent Laboratories, and also for my co-authors and fellow sample takers and all the people that participated in this, and again to Lummis for allowing me to go on these kind of boondoggles in addition to my regular job. I think we've had enough questions. But once again, thank you for your attention, and it's almost happy hour time.